a battle gets out of control. Hundreds of innocent people are killed. An angry public demands that something be done. And Congress passes the Superhero Registration Act. America's comic books rarely address the dubious legal and moral authority of their biggest stars. Most superheroes are vigilantes, after all, with no regard for police procedure, the bad guy's rights, or, for that matter, the Constitution. Well, maybe we might be willing to bend an amendment or two when the bad guys have superpowers, too. But a new series that hits comic book stores tomorrow pits hero against hero. A group led by Iron Man embraces the government's demand that they register as living weapons of mass destruction and reveal their secret identities, while Captain America and his allies refuse. The issues include civil liberties and national security, public safety, and private freedom. As Captain America and Iron Man could not be reached for comment, we're talking today with Joe Quesada, the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, and Paul Jenkins, who will be writing Frontline, a part of the series that features embedded reporters within the Marvel Universe. Joe Quesada is at our New York Bureau, and Paul Jenkins joins us from the studios of Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Nice to have you both on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Joe, I wonder, do you have to be careful about how closely comic book universes track the real world?
No, not at all, actually, Neil. The interesting thing, in particular with the Marvel Universe, is that when we are at our best, we deal with the real world and use the real world as metaphors and allegories to tell our stories.
Mm-hmm.
The basic crux, the basic foundation on which our characters are built are all built on the real world. They're just, you know, again, we use them as metaphors and we're able to tell wonderful, fantastic, great stories that are entertaining for the general public, but at the same time, they carry a deeper meaning and a deeper message. And I think that's ultimately why Marvel has been so successful over the last 40 years.
And Paul Jenkins, is this a parallel to the post-9/11, post-Patriot Act America?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we're really sort of examining the question of civil liberties versus civil comfort, you know. We're looking at these days at wiretapping and whether or not wiretapping is legal in light of all the terrorism that's going on in the world. So, you know, we're definitely examining these issues. I don't think we're necessarily supplying answers. I think we're just raising questions.
And your universe is just as divided as the real universe is.
Yeah, we're not making any kind of decision about this. We're really just kind of throwing it out there for people to decide. It was definitely one of our mandates was not necessarily to take one side or the other, whether it's pro-Registration Act or against the Registration Act. It was really to examine both sides of the issue because mm-hmm. there are two very complicated sides these days.
We're talking about Civil War. The series debuts in comic book stores tomorrow. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, Joe, it's hardly the first time that comic books have tried to address social situations, political situations broadly. You remember back in the 70s when the comic book's code was lifted off a couple of DC comics when they actually mentioned the subject of drugs, something that might have been brought up a few years before in comic books and otherwise. But, you know, it's such an odd world, the comic book world, but it's changed so much because your audience has changed.
Yeah, I mean, our audience has become much more sophisticated and to some extent somewhat older as well. And comics are no longer, you know, the child's medium that people may remember if they haven't picked up a comic recently. By the way, I do want to make one correction there.
Mm-hmm.
The actual drug, although DC did do some drug issues,
mm-hmm.
It was Marvel that did them first. Actually, those were the books that got me into comics in the first place. My mm-hmm. father bought me those books to hopefully keep me from ever getting addicted to drugs and yet started a whole other addiction called comic books. But
dangerous in some respects.
Yes, yeah, no kidding. Look where I ended up. But we're always at our best when we do this sort of thing. And Civil War, when we first came across the idea about 8 months ago, we knew that it was something that we had to do because it created such a polarizing effect within our own office
mm-hmm.
that we knew we were onto something. And we realized that it was very important to tell the story. And what's really unique about Civil War, aside from all the political sort of undertones that are within the series, it's that I think it's the first real comic event of its kind that doesn't really have a villain. You know, I can guarantee you right now, if you read the series, There will be no sort of big reveal in the third act of the dastardly villain twisting his mustache saying,
right,
I plotted this all along just to have the heroes fight each other. The villain is really up to the viewer, the reader. It's a matter of what your point of view is. And hopefully, as Paul was saying, if we do our job right, we'll have people thinking, because I know that if I had stepped out of my office and asked people the question about personal liberties versus personal freedoms, personal safety rather, would you, you know, we would get 10 diverse answers to that question, as it happened within our offices. So I know that readers are going to go into Civil War with a certain mindset and already rooting for a particular side because of their own personal beliefs. But if we do our job well, if Paul does his job well, we will end up hopefully having them at least consider what the other side is going through.
And Paul, is it your decision as to which character takes which side, or has that been decided at some grand editorial meeting?
yeah, it was actually decided mostly in an editorial meeting, but I have this wonderful list of characters, most of whom I've never actually heard of that may have appeared from any time through the 70s. and sometimes I'm given the choice, you know, you can make this person go this way or that. And so I have a tremendous amount of power with these characters. I can do whatever I like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there are, of course, oddities. Joe, you know, Thor is a god. You know, which side is he going to take in this petty dispute down here?
Well, currently in the Marvel Universe, Thor is gone.
No.
Thor's
out of touch.
Yeah, but you know, they always come back. So stay tuned. There may be a Thor appearance in Civil War, even though he's passed on. Mm. So, you know, we have some interesting things planned.
Let's see if we can get a call in on this. Paul calling us from New Bern, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I think it's fantastic you're discussing one of my favorite pastimes on the air today, Neil.
Oh, good. Mine too, but obviously I'm not quite the fanatic that I thought I was.
Well, you know, we even play with little miniatures called Hero Clicks, and we set up battles between the characters. So
don't tell me who wins. I don't want to know how it comes out.
This sounds a lot to me like what happened with the Justice Society back in the 50s with all the McCarthy, the House Un-American Affairs Committee, and, you know, it's reveal your identity or, you know, hang up your cape kind of thing. So I think it's great that this kind of thing is coming back, and comic books have always had more of an approach to the real world and something to say about it that's usually under the radar of just ordinary folks who never pick up a comic book.
So. Well, Joe Quesada, that's something. Yeah, and after this, can we accept the idea that in these titanic struggles between creatures with enormous powers, there might be a little collateral damage from time to time?
Well, I guarantee you this. There's going to be a lot of collateral damage. The outcome of this series, we basically picked, well, as we were thinking about, you know, we're not really taking a side in this, but a side does have to win, because if you're promising an event of this sort of magnitude, you can't just have a draw at the end of it. Nobody, you know, nobody watches the Super Bowl to see a tie. So there will be some tremendous, tremendous changes to the Marvel Universe after this.
And you can start finding out about them tomorrow in your local comic book store. Joe Quesada, Marvel Comics Editor-in-Chief, and Paul Jenkins, a writer for the Civil War series, joined us today. Gentlemen, thank you both. Good luck with it.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.